Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show, and I am Paula Gordon. Bill Russell is with me here with Congressman John Lewis at the Commerce Club. Bill Russell, you said you had a question. It's hard for me, but I'll let you ask
it. Part of this sounds like, from the outside, it looks like overcoming fear of the unknown. That we tend to sit around and create monsters, and sometimes the monsters are very real, and sometimes the monsters are imaginary, but always when we come eyeball to eyeball, they're not the same as what we anticipate. Is that part of what was going on?
Bill, I think you're so right that there is a tendency on the part of us all as human beings to fear what we do not know. And sometime in life, you have to come face to face with reality. I remember at the bridge in Selma in 1965, we were marching peacefully, silent protests across the Alabama River, and we were set on by policemen on horseback, billy clubs, and bull whips. I thought I was going to die. I saw death, I believe, and I stared it down. I lost my fear of dying. You come to that point where you see something so basic, so right, so fair, and so just that death cannot frighten you.
That is a powerful freedom, isn't it? Hadn't that freed you up to do everything since?
Well, I take, everything since then for me, I almost have been like cakewalk.
But after facing down hundreds of mounted police on the Selma highway,
it does make
highway.
A political campaign a little more manageable,
well,
doesn't it?
Sometimes I feel like saying to my colleagues, I feel like saying,
your colleagues
I've been
in the United States House of Representatives.
I feel like saying, I've been there. I've seen that. I've done that.
Yeah. To be able to come to that sense of peace. I had a sense as I was reading through your remarkable life, almost as if you were in the eye of a hurricane, the deep quiet that you were able to project. And even in your telling of the story, I could feel this sense of just centeredness with the world going around you in violent ways. And yet when it was past, there was rather like after a hurricane or a tornado, it was clear. There was room to grow again. Did it feel that way when you were doing it?
Well, the book started off talking about a windstorm. And as a child, a young child, we were caught in a windstorm in a house. My first cousins, my younger brothers and sisters, my aunt, and the rain came down. There was thunder and lightning, and my aunt was frightened. My mother used to say over and over again, when there's lightning and thunder, we should be quiet because God is doing his work. And we were frightened because of the lightning, the thunder, and the wind. It seemed like the house was going to lift, and we would walk to that corner to try to hold down the house. These little bodies trying to hold down the house.
Little bitty kids.
Little kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. But I can remember my aunt having the 15 of us by the hand, walking from one corner of the house to the other. The rain coming down on the tin top. But it's just like being in America, the American house. Every now and then, seem like the house is going to lift, that it's going to tear apart. But over and over again, black and white, all of us been coming together to hold the American house down, to hold it together.
Isn't that the world's story, too?
It's a story of the world, because we must find a way to end the conflict, to end the violence, to end the division, and create a world house, a world community at peace with itself.
You're talking about, I'm sorry, Bill, I've got to finish this thought, the big forces of nature, when you talk about the winds and the storms and the calm. This ability of this our species to get along is part of that big force, isn't it?
It is important. Martin Luther King Jr., my friend and hero, used to say from time to time that we must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will perish as fools.
As fools?
As fools. And in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the organization that I headed, better known as SNCC, We used to call ourselves a circle of trust, a band of brothers and sisters. And that's what I think we all must look and strive for on this planet.
Lonnie Guinier talks about, and then I remember it because I just seen it, her articulation about the absolute essential importance of a faith story and a church in terms of bringing people together and moving forward.
And she's not talking about religion either.
Well, not necessarily, but is that a reasonable articulation of what you experienced then and are trying to create now?
Well, I think there is something out there that we all are striving and searching to create. And we have to bring people together to create this sense of community, not just the American community, but the world community. I see my involvement as an extension of my faith. You have to make it real. You have to bring it alive. You just can't talk about it. You have to live it. I used to think that the only true integration and real integration that existed in America was within the movement itself, because you had young blacks and young whites struggling together, going to jail together, dying together, become part of your family. You become like brothers and sisters, become part of your extended family. And on this little planet, we must learn to live together.
And somebody's got to practice it first to show the rest of us how to do it.
Someone must have the courage, must be courageous enough, must be daring enough, must have raw courage to get out there and say, this is what we're going to do. I've said from time to time that maybe in America, we all came here in different ships, but now we're all in the same boat. But if you look at it, we all, as human beings, we're all part of the same family.
You talk about courage. Over and over again, as you tell the story in your own voice about what America has come through in the last 50 years and in some ways 400 years on different boats in the same boat, it's hard to find courage. And it's particularly hard to find courage if you're not on the Pettus Bridge in Selma facing mounted police. This sense of courage, of facing the hard issues, how do we do that when we don't have a focal point of bad guys?
You know, when I stood on the bridge in 65, I was on the Freedom Ride in 61, I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I went thinking about trying to perform a courageous act. I saw something that I felt was wrong. And I think in our world today, when we see wrong, we should try to right it.
Whatever it is,
we should speak out. We see a problem, we shouldn't try to hide it under the rug. We should bring it out from under the rug and deal with it. We should confront violence. We should confront racism and bigotry. We should be a little more tolerant as people, as human beings. And sometimes you just do it. Just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Courage does not necessarily require a bad guy, does it? It can be it can be a more positive. I mean, you can be working towards something and not have to demonize anybody. I mean, it can take courage to not be in the mainstream.
I think you're so right. You don't necessarily need a bad guy. You don't need a Bull Connor, a Chef Clark in Selma, or state troopers in Selma, to have courage. And I think in our society today, in the world community, we spend too much time demonizing others, trying to tear someone down, rather than to build, rather than to reconcile. We try to divide. So we need reconciliation. We need to build up people.
You talk about, and I want to come back after a break to talk more about the nonviolent movement itself, as not having losers. And maybe that's where we should be when we come back. We're talking with Congressman John Lewis. Bill Russell and I are with him and others at the Commerce Club. Please stay with us.